Let's pray together. Father, as we come to the Bible now, the book that we followers of Jesus believe you have written, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, through your word, that you will speak to each and every one of us. No matter what we come to this time believing or facing, we pray that you would so speak to us that we would come to love Jesus and look ever more like him. Father, I pray that in this time, my words would fall to the floor and yours would go forth into our hearts. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. In the spirit of living under a stay-at-home order, I want to tell you a little bit about one of my favorite all-time movies, Cinderella Man. So Cinderella Man is based on the true story of formerly successful boxer James Braddock, who during the Great Depression lost all of his money, was forced to retire from boxing because of injury, and became a day laborer just to keep his family off the street. But one day, Braddock's ex-trainer comes to him and offers him a one-time, last-minute fight, and despite all of his injuries, Braddock takes the fight to save his family. And in this wild turn of events, not only does Braddock win the fight, but he goes on, fueled by his family love, to win fight after fight and earn a title shot against heavyweight champion of the world, Max Baer. The only problem is that Max Baer is so dangerous that Braddock's wife, May, demands that Braddock call off the fight. But Braddock refuses, and he grows depressed, and his training starts to tank because he doesn't have his wife's support. But on the night of the fight, May surprises Braddock in his locker room, and she says to him, "You can't win without me." She says to him, in the midst of all the suffering of our life, "I am for you." And it's what May says to Braddock that changes everything. It's what she says to him in the midst of the suffering that changes everything. What does God say to you in the midst of the suffering that you're facing brought on by COVID-19? Because what God says truly changes everything. You know, what does God say to lonely, anxious, out of work, sick people who are facing unprecedented unknown? What does God say to sufferers? Well, over the course of the last 2 weeks, we've learned from Romans chapter 8 that what God says to sufferers is, your present suffering is nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed to you. And while you're waiting for glory, I'm working in the waiting. I'm working in the waiting. That's what God says to sufferers, and it changes everything about how we face this season. But in our passage this morning, the Apostle Paul flips that question on its head. He flips from what does God say to sufferers to what do we say in suffering? Our passage begins in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? In other words, the Apostle Paul is asking us, since God is working in all of your waiting, since your present suffering is nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed, since that's what God says to sufferers, what should we say to ourselves in the midst of suffering? And it's such an important question because, as theologian Paul Tripp often says, you are the most influential person in your life because no one talks to you as much as you do. In light of what God says to sufferers, what should we say to ourselves in the midst of suffering? Well, the Apostle Paul answers the question in the second part of Romans 8, verse 31. So the question, what then shall we say to these things? And then Paul answers with this sort of rhetorical question, if God is for us, who can be against us? In light of what God says to sufferers, what should we say in the midst of suffering to ourselves? Well, the answer is the big idea of our passage this morning. God is for you. God is for you. In light of all that God says to sufferers in the midst of our suffering, we should say, God is for you. Now, of course, this big idea raises an important question, which is, how can you possibly say that? How can you possibly say that God is for you in the midst of what we're facing with COVID-19? You see, trouble is very tempting. And suffering has a way of shining a floodlight on all the ways that we're susceptible to believe and feel and say, God isn't for me. But in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, the Apostle Paul gives us three reasons why, no matter what you're facing in this season, you can say, God is for you. Those three reasons. First, because God sent his son for you. He gave his son for you. Second, because God justifies you. And third, because nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's take those one at a time. First, God gave his son for you. Now, how can you possibly say God is for you when your designer life begins to crack and just might crumble? Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Friends, you can say that God is for you in all the things that you're facing. You can say that God is giving you everything that you need as you face all things. And you can even say that God is working all the things that you're facing together for good, because God has already given you the most important thing. He's already given his son for you. If God gave his son for you, how will he not also with him graciously give you everything that you need in this season? In fact, since God is for you and proves it because he gave his son for you, you can say, God is for me, and even in the worst of things, I am more than a conqueror, because God is giving me everything I need for life and godliness in this season, and he's even working the worst of things together for my good. So the first reason why you can say God is for you is because God gave his son for you, and he's certainly not going to stop giving now. So let's begin to take our passage personally. Here's a question that I want all of us to consider. What are you saying to yourself these days? Remember that Romans 8:31 is a question that sort of controls the whole of our passage. The question is, what then shall we say to these things? What are you saying to yourself these days? Like, I'll just be totally honest with you. I've been saying to myself a lot in this season, I don't have what I need to do what I'm supposed to do and be who I'm supposed to be in this season. You know, to put a finer point on it, I've been saying, I don't have the wisdom to do what I'm supposed to do or be who I'm supposed to be in this season. You know, my seminary didn't offer a class on how to pastor, parent, or husband during a global pandemic, and I have never felt in over my head like right now. And I've just been saying to myself, I don't have the wisdom that I need to be who I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do in this season. And I wonder what it is for you. What are you saying that you don't have to be who you're supposed to be or do what you're supposed to do in this season? You know, maybe you're a medical worker and you're saying, I don't have the insight or the endurance to be who I'm supposed to be or do what I'm supposed to do in this season. You know, maybe you're trying to juggle working at home and being a full-time parent, and you're saying, I don't have the patience to be who I'm supposed to be or do what I'm supposed to do in this season. Maybe you feel profoundly lonely and bored, And you're saying, I don't have the people or the activities that I need to be who I'm supposed to be or do what I'm supposed to do in this season. But in light of our passage, I can tell you that what God says to everything that you lack to be what you're supposed to be and do what you're supposed to do in this season is perfect. I can work with that. I'm an expert at giving my strength to weak people who don't have what they need to do what they're supposed to do or be who they're supposed to be in this season of unprecedented, unknown, and suffering. God is an expert at giving you all things and even working all things together for good in this season. Yeah, I may be in completely over my head, but I've never prayed so fervently in all my life. And in that sense, God has made my in over my head my dearest friend. It's making me more dependent than I would have ever been. See, the first reason why you can say in this season, no matter what you're facing, God is for you, is because God gave his son for you. He's certainly not going to stop giving now. Now, secondly, the second reason why you can say God is for you in a season like this is secondly because God justifies you. God justifies you. You know, I said earlier, trouble can be very tempting. Suffering has a way of taking our eyes off of Jesus and onto ourselves and making us feel profoundly guilty. And I tell you, you know, you look around these days and there are so many reasons to feel guilty. How can we possibly say God is for you in the midst of all the things that we should be doing and we're not, and all the things that we shouldn't be doing and we are? How can we possibly say God is for us? The answer is he justifies you. Romans 8, verses 33 and 34. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So in these verses, the Apostle Paul raises a critical question. Who is going to bring any condemning charge that can ultimately stick on God's chosen people in the final judgment? And the implied answer is, no one. I mean, but how is that possible? I mean, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if the wages of sin, even one sin, is eternal death, how are we not condemned? I mean, I don't think I need anyone to accuse me. I condemn myself just fine. How can we possibly say God is for us? Well, the answer is, God justifies you. God justifies you. And God justifies you means God loves to declare that sinful, self-righteous, wicked rebels are not guilty and forever in a right relationship with him through Jesus. God loves to cancel our infinite sin, death, and debt because Jesus paid it all. You can say God is for you because God loves to justify the ungodly through Jesus. Jesus died to take the condemnation that we deserve for everything we've ever done to dishonor God. Jesus rose to prove that his death does satisfy God's wrath and we will be safe from judgment. And Jesus is now exalted at the Father's right hand to assure us that though we sin in thought, word, and deed, that God holds us and will love us to the very end. I mean, even today, your sins should condemn you forever. But when you sin, it's as though the Son, exalted to the Father's right hand, looks to the Father and says, charge that to my already paid tab. I was condemned for him. I paid it all for her. Charge it to me and pardon them. And it's as though the Father then looks at the Son and says, that was my plan all along in sending you. But you knew that. You see, the reason why you can say that God is for you is because God loves to justify the ungodly. He's not for you because you deserve it, but because Jesus has earned it for you. God is for you because God loves to justify the ungodly through Jesus. So again, let's take this part of our passage personally by returning to the question that Paul raises at the beginning of the passage. What then shall we say to these things? So the question, what are you saying to yourself these days? What are you saying to yourself these days? You know, I wonder if you're saying to yourself, sort of in your heart of hearts, I'm guilty. How could God be for me? You know, you flip on the news, you see the devastation, and you doubt God's goodness. Where is God? And then you feel guilty. How could God be for a doubter like me? Or you lose your job, and you become disillusioned with God. Why is he doing this? And then you feel guilty. How could God be for a worrier like me? Or you try to work from home, but then you feel like you're neglecting your children and you feel guilty and you wonder, how could God be for a parent like me? You know, or you're trying your hand at homeschooling for the first time and you're realizing that cooped up children, exhausted parents, and endless boring math pages don't just like magically coalesce together to create little prodigies. And so you let them watch Frozen 2 again. And then you feel guilty. How could God possibly be for someone like me? Or you look at all the people in our church that you feel like you should be reaching out and caring for, and you're overwhelmed to the point of paralysis and you do nothing, and then you feel guilty. How could God possibly love someone as selfish as me? Or you're supposed to be enjoying extra time with the people that live with you that you love most, and then you snap at them. How could God possibly be for someone as unloving as me? And then to make matters worse, what we do is we figure, if I'm going to get God to be for me, then I need to take up the challenge of fixing everything I've done wrong. But as my hero Ray Ortland likes to put it, Jesus did not say, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you a challenge. No, he said to me, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You can bring all of your guilt to God. You can come back to him today because God gave his Son for you. His Son lived, died, was resurrected, and is exalted to justify you, to declare you not guilty. You can come back to him with all your guilt today and receive his gracious pardon. You can say today, in the midst of all of your guilt, God is for you because God loves to justify you, the ungodly. Now, a third and final reason why you can say in this season, God is for you, is because nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verses 37 to 39, some of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll level with you. COVID-19 can take a lot from you. COVID-19 can do a lot to you. COVID-19 can keep you from your friends and family. COVID-19 can make you profoundly bored and lonely. COVID-19 can take away your job, destroy your 401k. COVID-19 can kill you. It can take your life. But there's one thing that COVID-19 can't do, that nothing will ever be able to do, and that's separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's love for you in Christ is never stopping. It's never ending, and nothing can separate you from it because nothing is more powerfully and beautifully permanent than God's love for you in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, I'm one of those strange people. I've wanted to be a dad since I was just a little kid. I've always wanted to be a dad. Even when Andrew and I first got married, it was me. I was always like, hey, maybe we should have kids. Hey, let's have kids. Hey, let's have... I've always wanted to be a dad. And I'll tell you the truth, it's more glorious than I ever expected. I mean, sometimes I look at my children and my body physically aches. I love them so much. And my love for my kids isn't even a grain of sand on the infinite beach of God's love for you, and nothing's ever going to change that. And so let's consider our question one last time. What are you saying to yourself these days? I wonder if, like me, you're starting to say, what if? You know, what if? What if is the anthem of troubling times. And the longer this goes on, and in the face of the unknown and the growing suffering and calamity, what if rises up and rises up, and we say, what if, and we fill in the blank with worst case scenarios that are actually possible. What if is the anthem of troubling times. But Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39, God's unending love in Jesus Christ, it's his gracious invitation for you to turn your what ifs to even ifs. To turn your what ifs to even ifs, because even if COVID-19 takes your health, even if COVID-19 ruins your career, even if you are lonely and desperate, even if you lose your life, you will not lose the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, and his love is better than life. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You better believe that God is for you. Have you received God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord? You know, nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, God's love always and only comes to us and is communicated to us through Jesus Christ. I mean, Romans 8, 31 to 39 is full of some of my favorite promises in the Bible. But the only way that you can really know, that you can really say God is for you, that God gave his son for you, that God justifies you, and that nothing will separate you from God's love is if you're in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the one who has made you worthy and qualified you for God's never-ending love. Will you throw yourself on Jesus today? Will you receive God's love in Christ alone with the empty hands of faith? If you do, whether for the first time or the thousandth, you can say with the Apostle Paul, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God is for you. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks and praise because you are for us in the midst of our suffering. You gave your Son for us. You've justified us, and nothing will separate us from your love. Help us to cling to your unending, unshifting, always and forever glorious love today. Through Christ we pray. Amen.